soon after has a revelation, reinvents his life.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, with Dad's Point of View. It is time for some spiritual rap with Pastor Drew Sams, who is the head pastor at Bel Air Presbyterian Church in Bel Air. This is a brand new position. He's probably one of the youngest pastors. They have such a senior position at such a prestigious church. And that makes me feel really prescient and smart that I've had him on my radio show for a couple years. Pastor Drew Sams and his wife Erica presently live in Newbury Park, California, and are the proud parents of recently turned 2-year-old Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me on again.
So, babies and making babies. First, let's get an update on baby Judah. I mean, he's not a baby anymore. Young boy, young man, toddler Judah. And then I'd like to talk about making babies and the overpopulation myth that is the theme of this week's column. But how is Judah doing?
Thanks for asking. Every week as you do so, well, you know, my wife and I are going to be receiving our in-laws from Texas. They're driving across from Texas. They just crossed the Arizona border, headed to our home in California, and so he's very excited to see his Nana and Papa this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Let me break it to you. They are your in-laws. They are your wife's parents.
There you go. This is good. This will help me as they come in.
Yes, you need to understand the distinction.
So, yes, did I say our in-laws?
Yeah, you did.
I did. Thank you. Well, you saved me from an awkward conversation when I walked through the door this afternoon.
Anyway, that's good. I'm sure you'll have a great visit. Are they staying with you?
They are. This is the first time,
courageous.
You know,
because
we've talked in previous segments about how my wife and I finally made a move to a larger home rather than a 2-bedroom. We've got an extra room for them to stay, and that was one of the reasons why we wanted to expand a little bit.
Well, that's the downside, I would say. But okay.
Yeah, I know. You sound like some of my friends right now.
I actually love my in-laws, and we always have them stay with us too. So I'm really kidding on the square. So moving on, my column this week is about the overpopulation myth, and I'm wondering your thoughts both globally, in the big view, and then your thoughts as you observe the two communities you've been a very intimate part of, originally at Calvary Community Church and now at Bel Air Presbyterian. What are you seeing? Are you seeing the same trend of Western families just not having kids as much?
Yeah, you know, I've even done some research in this, preparing for sermons. In fact, 2 weeks ago I spoke on this topic, how in the West today, here we are in the 21st century, we are, as a culture, an anomaly, not only around the world, but also in world history.
Now, by the West, you mean Western Europe as well as the United States,
correct? Yes, yes. And I think that's a great clarification, because we throw that phrase around a lot. Mm-hmm. But Western Europe, United States, I think, you know, the broader sense of North America. But, you know, as we look at how this culture is so different than the other cultures, really for the first time in history, we have had a sense of individual goals being more important than the goals for the entire family. And throughout human history, families have been the primary focus, having as many children as possible. And part of that was just to survive. You know, when the infant mortality rate was so high, mm-hmm. you needed to have 10 kids just to have 2 left over to, you know, to keep your family going on. But there's also the sense of the more your family grew, the more you could protect yourself from others. But even outside of that, around the world, we have this high value placed on the family unit. And it's more than just, you know, the nuclear family that we talk about in the United States, but it's the extended family, aunts and uncles, grandparents, cousins. And here we are in the West, like I defined it, Western Europe and North America, we place such a high value on individual goals that then having children then takes a second or third or fourth place in our values, and that puts on the back burner. So, you know, you look at the average age for people to have their first children, that's getting older and older and older. And yet at the same time, the average age for marriage is getting older and older and older, and there's been some consequences sociologically because of that. It's very, very fascinating. We'll see what happens in the next generation or two, but as you point out in the column, it does cause a tremendous bit of alarm as we look at the world stage?
It's so much more complex than I think most people know. If you ask the average person, do we have an overpopulation problem? They'll go, of course we do. You know, we have dwindling resources and too many people, and we're gonna, you know, dry up the planet. And of course, I point out the Texas analogy in my article. I'm not sure if that's in part one or part two, but if we took all 7 billion people that currently live on planet Earth and put them in families of four, they could each have what I think like a half an acre of land, and every single human being that currently is on the planet Earth could live in Texas. And all of the rest of the United States could be farmland to make food. There's plenty of water just from some of the major rivers in the United States for water. And the rest of the world can be a playground, a developing place for vacations, for more food. That's how little we really are using up our resources. Now, the problem is the distribution of people and resources is out of whack because of human corruption, evil. So yes, there are places in the world where there's starvation, where there's a lack of resources. Obviously, that would be foolish to deny it. So the problem isn't too many people. The problem is how we as human beings manage the world. And that's the point of my column, which is two parts. And I believe when we hear about all the big world problems, and the one that makes me crazy is global warming and climate change, which to me is basically weather. All the things that Kerry and others say about the world is going to end, you know, because of this nonsense science that they say is incontrovertible. The danger to the world is not climate change. The danger to the world is we're not going to have enough babies to sustain our human race.
And it's so amazing as you articulate that, how small media attention, and I know that's the whole point of your column, is given to this topic when weather, climate change, overpopulation, all those things really dominate our fears as they're perpetuated, you know, at the global stage by the media. It's really fascinating.
It's upside down. It's really upside down what's going on. So I know you must have, since you prepared a sermon just 2 weeks ago, coincidentally. What sort of, beyond the obvious, be fruitful and multiply, what does the scriptures say about procreation our obligations?
Sure, there's so many. King David wrote in one of his psalms, Psalm 127, he said, "Children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a reward from him." And I love this imagery that he gives. He says, "Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons and daughters born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame." And I love that idea, that children are a blessing. And for many who put their career or their own individual needs higher than family goals, that's a challenge to hear that type of language, that children are a blessing, that children are a high value in God's eyes. So I do recognize, though, because my wife and I for 5 years struggled with infertility, that it's not as easy as just saying, "Hey, let's have kids." So I'm very sensitive to and aware from personal experience and because of the people I pastor, that it's not as simple as, "Let's just have more kids."
Well, you know what's interesting? When I talk to a lot of the younger generation, I talk about, "Do you want to have kids?" They talk about their plans to have kids in the same way they would talk about buying a new car or going on vacation, as if it's just a matter of saving enough money or when the right time comes. They're forgetting that in some cases there are issues of fertility, and that the idea of planning for a family is so much bigger than worrying about your career. I mean, do we really care on our deathbed how big and wonderful our career was versus what good we did in the world, how we made a beautiful family, how we raised some kids and maybe helped and loved a spouse? I mean, the value of procreation and family is diminished, and that it's very, very concerning to me.
Yes, it's so true. So it'll be interesting, you know, as we talk about this, and I think that as I speak to this with my congregation, you know, I'm hoping that it'll gain more traction. And it'll take time, though.
You're in a very upscale community now. So I wonder what is the average number of kids that your congregants have. And, of course, the more religious the person, the more likely they'll have kids, and maybe more than one or two. But sometimes the more upscale they are, the more they're concerned about their selfish interests. Yeah, I'm wondering what you'll observe over time. It's probably too soon to say.
Yeah, it can be. It's very true. Well, 3 weeks in, I'm still learning which hallways lead to which room. So I imagine that as I learn those things, I'll learn some of those nuances of this specific congregation in regards to family size. I'll keep you updated.
One other point, just for what it's worth, I found an interesting list of 224 countries and what their projected fertility rates were for 2014. In the top 30 were basically mostly countries in dark and dark Africa, okay, where mortality rates are horrible. And at the bottom of the list, the last one was Singapore, a very modern country. The U.S. was somewhere in the middle. Western Europe was very low. All of Western Europe was low. And certain countries that, whether it's politically correct or not, that we probably wouldn't like to procreate as much as they are, they're very high on the list, and they're having high fertility rates. So it's a scary equation. Yeah. We're out of time, Pastor Drew. Where can our listeners find you?
Well, on all social networks, at Surfer Drew, and our new church that I'm at, our website is belairpress.org.
Terrific. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. As always, a joy, an honor, and a pleasure to speak with you.
See you next week.
Okay, stay tuned for some more talk and ranting from me after these messages.
He knows what's cool. He's now got his own radio show and a Twitter too. Hashtag Dadchick, check that bit out, fool. Instagram and Facebook, dude. Yo, peace out. He's one.